Productiveness is your acceptance of morality, your recognition of the fact that you choose to live, that productive work is the process by which man's consciousness controls his existence, a constant process of acquiring knowledge and shaping matter to fit one's purpose, of translating an idea into physical form, of remaking the earth in the image of one's values, that all work is creative work if done by a thinking mind. And no work is creative if done by a blank who repeats in uncritical stupor a routine he has learned from others. That your work is yours to choose, and the choice is as wide as your mind. That nothing more is possible to you and nothing less is human. That to cheat your way into a job bigger than your mind can handle is to become a fear-corroded ape on borrowed motions and borrowed time. And to settle down into a job that requires less than your mind's full capacity is to cut your motor and sentence yourself to another kind of motion, decay. That your work is the process of achieving your values, and to lose your ambition for values is to lose your ambition to live. That your body is a machine, but your mind is its driver, and you must drive as far as your mind will take you, with achievement as the goal of your road. That the man who has no purpose is a machine that coasts downhill at the mercy of any boulder to crash in the first chance ditch. That the man who stifles his mind is a stalled machine, slowly going to rust. That the man who lets a leader prescribe his course is a wreck being towed to the scrap heap. And the man who makes another man his goal is a hitchhiker no driver should ever pick up. That your work is the purpose of your life, and you must speed past any killer who assumes the right to stop you. That any value you might find outside your work, any other loyalty or love, can be only travelers you choose to share your journey, and must be travelers going on their own power in the same direction. Pride is the recognition of the fact that you are your own highest value, and like all of man's values, it has to be earned, that of any achievements open to you. The one that makes all others possible is the creation of your own character, that your character, your actions, your desires, your emotions are the products of the premises held by your mind. That as man must produce the physical values he needs to sustain his life, so he must acquire the values of character that make his life worth sustaining. That as man is a being of self-made wealth, so he is a being of self-made soul. That to live requires a sense of self-value, but man who has no automatic values has no automatic sense of self-esteem and must earn it by shaping his soul in the image of his moral ideal, in the image of man, the rational being he is born able to create, but must create by choice. That the first precondition of self-esteem is that radiant selfishness of soul which desires the best in all things, in values of matter and spirit, a soul that seeks above all else to achieve its own moral perfection, valuing nothing higher than itself. And that the proof of an achieved self-esteem is your soul's shudder of contempt and rebellion against the role of a sacrificial animal, against the vile impertinence of any creed that proposes to immolate the irreplaceable value which is your consciousness and the incomparable glory which is your existence to the blind evasions and the stagnant decay of others. Are you beginning to see who is John Galt? I am the man who has earned the thing you did not fight for, the thing you have renounced, betrayed, corrupted, yet were unable fully to destroy, and are now hiding as your guilty secret, spending your life in apologies to every professional cannibal, lest it be discovered that somewhere within you you still long to say what I am now saying to the hearing of the whole of mankind. I am proud of my own value, and of the fact that I wish to live. This wish, which you share, yet submerge as an evil, is the only remnant of the good within you. But it is a wish one must learn to deserve. His own happiness is man's only moral purpose, but only his own virtue can achieve it. Virtue is not an end in itself. Virtue is not its own reward, or sacrificial fodder for the reward of evil. Life is the reward of virtue. And happiness is the goal and the reward of life. Just as your body has two fundamental sensations, pleasure and pain, as signs of its welfare or injury, as a barometer of its basic alternative, life or death. So your consciousness has two fundamental emotions, joy and suffering, in answer to the same alternative. Your emotions are estimates of that which furthers your life or threatens it, lightning calculators, giving you a sum of your profit or loss. You have no choice about your capacity to feel that something is good for you or evil, but what you will consider good or evil, what will give you joy or pain, what you will love or hate, desire or fear, depends on your standard of value. Emotions are inherent in your nature, but their content is dictated by your mind. Your emotional capacity is an empty motor, and your values are the fuel with which your mind fills it. If you choose a mix of contradictions, it will clog your motor, corrode your transmission, and wreck you on your first attempt to move with a machine which you, the driver, have corrupted. If you hold the irrational as your standard of value, and the impossible as your concept of the good, if you long for rewards you have not earned, for a fortune or a love you don't deserve, for a loophole in the law of causality, for an A that becomes non-A at your whim, if you desire the opposite of existence, you will reach it. Do not cry when you reach it. That life is frustration, and that happiness is impossible to man. Check your fuel. It brought you where you wanted to go. Happiness is not to be achieved at the command of emotional whims. Happiness is not the satisfaction of whatever irrational wishes you might blindly attempt to indulge. Happiness is a state of non-contradictory joy, a joy without penalty or guilt, a joy that does not clash with any of your values and does not work for your own destruction. Not the joy of escaping from your mind, but of using your mind's fullest power. Not the joy of faking reality, but of achieving values that are real. Not the joy of a drunkard, but of a producer. Happiness is possible only to a rational man. The man who desires nothing but rational goals, seeks nothing but rational values, and finds his joy in nothing but rational actions. Just as I support my life, neither by robbery nor alms, but by my own effort, so I do not seek to derive my happiness from the injury or the favor of others, but earn it by my own achievement. Just as I do not consider the pleasure of others as the goal of my life, so I do not consider my pleasure as the goal of the lives of others. Just as there are no contradictions in my values and no conflicts among my desires, so there are no victims and no conflicts of interest among rational men, men who do not desire the unearned, and do not view one another with a cannibal's lust, men who neither make sacrifices nor accept them. The symbol of all relationships among such men, the moral symbol of respect for human beings, is the trader. We who live by values, not by loot, are traders, both in matter and in spirit. A trader is a man who earns what he gets and does not give or take the undeserved. A trader does not ask to be paid for his failures, nor does he ask to be loved for his flaws. A trader does not squander his body as fodder or his soul as alms. Just as he does not give his work except in trade for material values, so he does not give the values of his spirit, his love, his friendship, his esteem, except in payment and in trade, for human virtues, in payment for his own selfish pleasure, which he receives from men he can respect. The mystic parasites, who have throughout the ages reviled the traders and held them in contempt, while honoring the beggars and the looters, have known the secret motive of their sneers. A trader is the entity they dread, a man of justice. Do you ask what moral obligation I owe to my fellow men? None. Except the obligation I owe to myself, to material objects, and to all of existence. Rationality. I deal with men as my nature and theirs demands, by means of reason. I seek or desire nothing from them, except such relations as they care to enter of their own voluntary choice. It is only with their mind that I can deal, and only for my own self-interest, when they see that my interest coincides with theirs. When they don't, I enter no relationships. I let dissenters go their way, and I do not swerve from mine. I win by means of nothing but logic, and I surrender to nothing but logic. I do not surrender my reason or deal with men who surrender theirs. I have nothing to gain from fools or cowards. I have no benefits to seek from human vices, from stupidity, dishonesty, or fear. The only value men can offer me is the work of their mind. When I disagree with a rational man, I let reality be our final arbiter. If I am right, he will learn. If I am wrong, I will. One of us will win, but both will profit.